formatting's gone when they copied our slides across. So exemption from cutoff. So, well, they did say, Michael Meacher, the late Michael Meacher, did say that things that had been applied for would be safeguarded. So that's the really... until processed, yes, because they may process it and decide there isn't a right of way, of course. But at least we'd save that bit. Now, Sarah and I just wanted to go through a couple of things before we actually get you doing something with the whiteboards or in small groups, because we were told it's a workshop and we would have been much happier doing a lecture, but there you go. So dispelling some myths first. Do you want to?
Yeah, these ways aren't lost. About 70% of the ones I put in are currently ridden by me. They are not lost. They need no physical works. The change will be to the legal record, not to what's on the ground. Others are just overgrown, but that to say that they are lost is incorrect. And we're not talking about new routes. We would love new routes. But if we could get back the network that was grown over thousands of years, that would be very sufficient. It used to work. It did work. We do need to get the network back. New routes would be great, but this exercise is in getting the network back on the map. Many are hedged and ditched lanes. They're stoned, they're surfaced. This is not farmland. We are not trying to take the farmer's ability to grow his crops. These are old network of hedged and ditched lanes. This is not farmland. You may get a bridleway along a field edge, but most of these are the old drove roads, the grass lanes, whatever you want to call them. And many have no known owner. You'll have the ownership of the fields alongside, but there'll be no owner of this route. So whether it's the Lord of the Manor or the surveying authority or whichever argument you want to take, there is no landowner there who you're going to deprive. The challenge. Phil? Me? Tasks ahead. How can the LAFs help? It is a tremendous problem. If you knew how many there were per square mile or per county, you would have to go and employ an enormous workforce to do this. You need to influence, encourage, and assist. You have some very able user groups. You have some very able societies in the way of local history societies. There's a lot of knowledge out there, a lot of intelligent people. LAFs need to know how they can actually bring that into some effect. You need to guide, you need to have some targets.
Shall I pick up?
Yes.
So we just want to say a few words about, we know there are lots of paths that need recording. Highways, I should call them. There are lots of highways that need recording. So a couple of years back, Sarah and I did some work for the British Horse Society, voluntary work, of course, for the British Horse Society. They'd had some funding from Sport England. And we've talked about this at other conferences and things. You may have heard some of this. But we used Hertfordshire and Somerset as two pilot counties in order to refine the methods, try and make things slick. I mean, basically, discovering lost ways was a complete waste of taxpayers' money. And we were trying to find a way of actually making some progress with all the routes that needed recording. And the challenge we were given by Mark Weston, the Director of Access at the BHS, was, can you make 50 applications each, please, in 1 year, starting now? Well, lots of work, lots of worry. Could we do it? Well, we certainly did. And here are some of our findings. Well, we discovered that the simple truth really was that wherever you looked, you could find unrecorded ways. So some of them not recorded on the definitive map at all, but others that were just at the wrong status and needed upgrading. From our work, we decided there could be hundreds in every county and dozens in unitary authorities. Certainly, I've got more than half of Hertfordshire's backlog now. I've got about 140 applications waiting to be processed. Sarah, you're about 180, is it? 200?
No, about 250.
I'm 250. I've lost track in the last year. What we did find was that having collected loads of evidence in the intensive year, and this is as volunteers, not as full-time staff, of course, we found that the evidence is then usable after the project year for still making further applications. And so, you know, one of the things we want you to think about, really important, is how many unrecorded ways are in your LAF area? How many things, do you even know how many unrecorded ways you've got? 2 weeks ago, we were giving 2 days of training in Bodmin in Cornwall to part of the British Horse Society and Ramblers scheme for rolling out rights of way, restoring the record training. And we were very pleased that all of their definitive map staff came along over the 2 days for extra training and were encouraging the public to make more applications. They were desperately keen to get more things in.
Well, they want the quality applications. They want the ones with the properly set out with the proper evidence to support it, not a wish list.
Absolutely. So Cornwall is 1,300 square miles, 7 old districts, 213 parishes, and how many ways do you think they estimated that they had unrecorded? You can shout out.
Some were quite small, just joining links, that there's a maroon bridleway and it needs the link either side putting in. But how many? Any ideas?
1,000.
How many?
1,000.
1,000? Any advance on 1,000? And a half. Well, the Cornwall staff themselves reckoned that they had 5,000 unrecorded ways. And as Sarah says, some of these will be 2 miles across the moor, others will be 100 yards that stops you from getting to a recorded path.
How many do you think that is a day, a working day in 10 years? And for those who are slow at the maths, it's 2 per day.
2 a day for 10 years. So that's lots of applications that need to go in. And it also means lots of job security for definitive map staff if we put these applications in. So they actually welcome the applications. They're not frightened by them. Or one person at an IPRO conference last year was, but everyone else shouted him down because
AUPAs,
it's a good thing.
It is. The AUPAs, which is another subject, but if they were all by default going to be bridleways or carriageways, it would reduce that 5,000 by quite a lot.
They are now going by default. They will be in the regs. So there's no point in making applications.
I haven't yet, but I've been looking at that mountain and thinking I really don't want to climb it.
Yeah.
So I can leave the office alone.
Yes, that's Roots. Someone said that this morning.
Okay. I want it in print.
I believe it when I see the regulations.
Yeah.
Other routes with public access.
It's the green dots. It looks like a green dot. Certainly green dots.
But what is an AUPA, Alan? Well, the definition of it is going to be the interesting thing.
But by and large, across England and Wales, 98-99% of AUPAs are from a list of streets. That's what the OS was tasked to do in 1997.
Yep.
Letters from them. In certain weird places like Bradford that we heard about earlier today, for some reason they just about wrote every track they could find in the small area down as an AUPA. But they are an identifiable anomaly. So if you're talking rather than AUPAs about list of street roads,
okay.
Okay.
So thank you, Alan.
Good.
Good and not good. So in Hertfordshire, all of the AUPAs that were on the list of streets and sent to the Ordnance Survey have dropped off and are now restricted byways because they dropped off before NERCA. And it's a real pain. So you have to still investigate. You need to know exactly the status of these routes, or you might lose them. When we've got the regulations, then we will know that some are preserved. But my advice at the moment is trust nobody.
Hang on, you're wrong. Because it's not a NERCA issue, it's a CROA issue.
Yes, right? But until we've got the regulations, Alan, we don't know.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying at the moment, is believe nobody until we've got it in black and white and it can't be changed.
I'll fry the fish before I do the AUPAs.
Yeah, that's prioritisation is another matter.
Talk about this one.
But we're digressing. So routes long and short. So here is a long route. This is a particularly interesting one. This red one here, because if it isn't recorded as a right of way of some sort, and Cornwall told us this is not on their list of streets, then we've got paths that come up to it and just stop. We've got a restricted byway here that joins a footpath to what could be a nothing, so that will vanish. Various paths that just wouldn't work if that red one isn't recorded. So some of these things are really important, give you great big long routes and access to other networks. On the other hand, here is an AUPA. These green dots here indicate an AUPA, and then it comes right away and goes across there. That is an AUPA that dropped off the list of streets and suddenly there is no record at all left in the county council offices whatsoever, except for the letter that they sent to Ordnance Survey back in the day, in the last century.
I have a list of streets for Somerset. 30 years ago was that thick, and now it's that thick.
So we know they lose
them. They've been losing them.
So some of these routes are long and some are short. That's the message there. Now, as part of our work, we really boiled it down to an ABC. Build the list of routes. Build your research library with your information that's going to help you make your applications, and then make your applications. Now, that sounds very simple. And of course, each of these, there's lots of work to be done on building the list of routes, working out where all your routes are that need applying for, collecting all your evidence, and then putting it together in applications. Sarah, index?
Yes. List of candidate routes. There are two ways of doing this. I chose one way and Phil came up with another. You both end up with a long list of routes, which you know you want to investigate. Number them. I number them by parish. Phil numbers them by county. And you've got that list. That's aid sorted out. And as Phil rightly says, you must always know what it is. Nicola was very sensible in saying if you can pick up the counties and the parish path numbers for upgrades, at least you all know what you're talking about. You must have a reference of what you're doing, where the path is going from. It's very easy to mislead people by talking about the same path. My way of doing the index map was to call a few friends. This is a regular, it was a pathfinder. The black dashes are parish boundaries. The green route, still blocked, is a Kingsmoor Drove, it's a bridleway. And all the pink or purple lines, pink lines, are the routes. So this parish has 1, 2, 3, 4, this parish has 1, 2, 3. And these numbers are the second series county numbers, sheet numbers, because you'll find the records are either kept by a grid system, like the OS does it, or by a parish system, or sometimes by an enclosure ward or an area system. And then there are the records that are also serial, like the quarter sessions and the highway board minutes. But Phil had another way of creating an index map, but that's mine.
So Sarah managed to find how many paths by asking your friends? 100 easily. And that was just in South Somerset, not even the whole county. In Hertfordshire, I looked at, well, I thought, well, no, I just want to start systematically and we'll start at the top and work down. So let's draw lines across and down and look at each square in turn. But of course, somebody's already done that for me. That's the Ordnance Survey. So here's an index map. Here's the top of Hertfordshire just shown there. And you can see the old county map series numbering. So we adopted that in Hertfordshire for our
search. But it's the same grid system, exactly the same second series grid system that I had.
Indeed, yes, it's the same one that was used for the Inland Revenue Survey, of course. So here's a square off. There's a bit of an overlap with Essex over here, so there's an extra cross. But this is one square there. We've got 528 such squares in Hertfordshire, and we just started looking at them one at a time on the Inland Revenue maps and picking out things that were of interest, just in order to start building up that initial list of things. And then it's our intention to carry on going through tithes and enclosures that aren't on the grid system to carry on adding to our index. And then when we've made an index, literally just listed each path that we're interested in, given it a reference number, and I just use a spreadsheet thing and start colouring things in green if they're positive evidence that helps me with the application, and red if they're negative evidence that suggests I'm wrong. This is an early version, obviously it's not all filled in, but and then when I've got enough green, I just can get an application sent off.
Where are the Inland Revenue maps and how far do they go back to?
So, the 1910. They're
the 1910.
It's a 1910 Finance Act map, so that's
where
the date.
They?
They're in Kew, in the National Archives in Kew. Some counties have them.
So
the superior copy is in Kew.
Hertfordshire have them, mostly. Kew have them.
We find
that there are occasionally ones missing from one archive or the other, and that then you need to go to the other one or get somebody to go for you. So we've been rolling out this method to other areas. So the Open Spaces Society have got a chap in Norfolk that's coordinating research there, although we've got a training day coming up, so we'll get some more volunteers. They've got 2,000 odd square miles. How many unrecorded ways? Well, he's following the square-based system, and there's one of his squares with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 routes circled that he was interested in. And he found, actually, from just 49 squares, he found 102 suspect paths for investigation. So that's approximately, what, two per square mile?
And it comes out at about the same as Cornwall was.
So we do think that in, you know, there's lots of work to be done. So.
Yes. This is, having got the list, your list of all the routes, you now need the evidence. And if you had all those files on your computer, you can work quite quickly in the middle of the night if you have to. So what Phil and I are saying is get the information, photograph it, get someone else to photograph it, and store it so it can be shared. Because there's no point everybody going and taking a photograph of the same map. Put it up in the cloud or share it on memory sticks or discs. The ones in black are the ones that we tend to look at always first. Because if they give us a negative impression, we probably will go and look at the next one on our list. You won't always have the enclosures, but you should get everything else. And the rest of them, obviously, river and drainage is anywhere there's a river or a canal. But if you have all that on your computer or on someone's computer, you can just slot the information from that into the template, which is the DMMO application. So it's A, B, C, and that is B. But that is the difficult one to get, and it takes a lot of effort and a lot of community effort of people all sharing it.
So what we're not saying, we are definitely not saying you have to collect all evidence before you can start doing stuff. That would be nonsense. You need to be making your applications as you get your evidence in. But when you do go and photograph a document, photograph all of it, not just the path that you were investigating, because then that is available for other people to look at and to finish off doing your parish or your square or however you've divided up your area.
So take the whole of the object names book, not just the one entry that you're interested in.
Absolutely.
You've got the colours on this.
Sorry? The colours relate to our numbering scheme down here, where we, in order just to give people a... Okay, so this is not terribly scientific, and there are always exceptions, but generally speaking, things that can give you... things that have got a red border with a 5 are likely to be more valuable in finding new evidence than things that are with a yellow border and only worth 1 point.
The 5 stars have generally got a legal act behind them. If they've got legal backing, then they're a little more worthwhile than an aerial photograph.
That doesn't guarantee that you get 5 stars worth of evidence just because you've got a reference to it in something with a red border, but it means that you have the potential of getting more evidence from it because it's that sort of document, and you will always have to read it and assess it anyway. You can't just allocate stars without looking at it, but it's just to give a guide.
We have a question.
I don't know about quick.
Well, quicker. I mean, the problem with the user forms is people are dying.
Yeah.
These things have been 20, 30
years. And the public inquiry, the users can be bullied and bamboozled. It's very difficult to bully an act of parliament. The other thing is that I think that the historical evidence ones are necessary to be protected, whereas the user ones might actually be preserved if people are still using them in 2026.
But we need to see the regulations first.
Yeah.
Because we don't trust anybody.
Okay, so here's a quick checklist, which you can't read, obviously, but really it's making notes about what the route is, and just very brief notes about the different document sorts that you've discovered. You will not find all document sources for each path you're doing, so it doesn't matter that you haven't got the thing filled in, you just need to pick out the lines that you do have the evidence for and do help you build a case. But somebody needs to coordinate, we've done that, and perhaps say, oh, so-and-so, can you go and get that document, because that would finish off this application.
Well, you were looking at that railway line. Can I have a look at what you've got so I can find my link, my crossing route further along?
So
can you go back to the slide with the grid of the colours just a second? Mm. Can I make a point on that? Right. You were saying about the different types of evidence. I think the crucial difference is that the red boxes, they directly speak about the existence of a public road, where the others are only inferential.
That's right.
Yes.
Right? That's the crucial difference.
Yes.
And my own view, as somebody who puts in applications, is that, first of all, if you haven't gone through the enclosure awards for accounting, you're doing it wrong.
I agree.
Because then you knock off the ones that are easy.
Absolutely. Not everybody has enclosure awards.
No, of course they don't.
But if you've got them, you have to look at them. And if you don't look at them, somebody else is going to.
And that's why they're in the black text, because we think the black text ones are really the starting points.
But the way I heard you say, and forgive me if I'm wrong, is that you're almost saying, look at that evidence first because it's best, but even then, just hang on to everything for a while. My view would be, if it's on the enclosure board, just bang the application.
No. Once you've got enough evidence, put it in.
Yep.
But sorry, what I think I was saying was, do keep hold of all of the evidence, because that will help somebody else.
Yeah,
okay.
But if you've got enough...
We're running out of time.
If you're looking for sales plans, just bung it in.
We need to get to the workshop, because we've got things. So the summary of our thoughts was that there's plenty of unrecorded routes to be found. And there will be other sources that we haven't listed, you know, because any source that gives you positive evidence is useful.
You'll
just because
quarrying
it's
quarrying records or something, which we haven't been...
Just because we didn't list it doesn't mean it isn't worth something. It all depends. And things very much change from locality to locality. We did find building a research library, keeping all of the stuff that you've got available, was really important. And it was something everyone can have a go at, because different people will do different things. Some people will go and look at routes and take photographs for you. Other people are happy to write up statements of case, and other people are happy just to go and photograph things in an archive office. So there's always different activities that people could do. But they certainly need more volunteers. So when we were asked to talk to this LAF conference and the one next week, we thought, well, this is somewhere that LAFs could get involved in. And by way of example, we've been giving these training talks. Haywards Heath, immediate before we finished the day at Haywards Heath, half a dozen of them had formed themselves into a little group, and they're now called the Sussex Don't Lose Your Way Project, and they're coordinating activities. They are unfortunate in being split between three LAFs, so they just did it themselves. But in other areas, it might work better. In Cornwall, we had most of the LAF at the training, the definitive map officers, the BHS and the Ramblers and the open spaces.
And the guy who loved turnpikes. Brilliant.
And so you get all different sorts of people, and they've formed themselves into a group of 37 people, and they're getting on with it.
And that subs out by areas. So we make them eat lunch together. It's only a sandwich, but then everybody says, well, I come from Bude too, and I've seen you around. So all of a sudden, those in one area talk to each other, and they support each other. And support is very good. Working on this as an individual is hard work. If a group of you do it and share the workload, you actually get a lot further.
And the final example here is Buckinghamshire, where the LAF itself had a talk from us for an hour at one of their meetings, and then formed up a subgroup to say, we must do this. And they've now organised themselves with their parishes to bring 40 people along to a training day that we're giving.
In the archives.
So they're really enthused. So the activity now, we've got just under 10 minutes. We've got three whiteboards. So perhaps you'd like to congregate round a whiteboard, a flip chart. And we want you just to think of bullet points of how could a LAF influence, encourage and assist activities to record highways at risk by 2026. Please. These will be shared with the other LAFs so that anyone who's got bright ideas gets them shared out.
Best practice.